Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Rebecca Seal. Welcome back to the Solo Collective. Today, we're talking about parenting, but if you're not a parent, don't switch off. This is as much about what it means to be a human who works, or a carer, or to work with other people who are parents, or for people who are thinking about becoming parents. I'm talking with Frankie Totora, who is a freelance graphic designer, but you might already know her as the founder of Doing It For The Kids, which is a brilliant community that I've been part of for quite a few years, supporting parents who work for themselves. And she also has a podcast of the same name, which is equally brilliant. And she launched the community because she couldn't find a community of people who could talk about the stuff that she wanted to talk about, which she describes as being the mundane side of dealing with parenting and working for yourself. I wanted to talk to her about why she set the community up, why she thought it was necessary, and how she manages working and parenting. I'm excited. I think that this is another useful conversation, and I think there's a lot in it which people can take away and action in their own lives. Thank you so much, Frankie, for coming on the Solo Collective. I want to figure out if it's possible to have this conversation without it being too exclusive of non-parents. I'm not sure that it totally will be, but I feel as though there is stuff in what we're going to talk about which is relevant for people who work with parents or who might be thinking about becoming parents, which is kind of takes in most of us.
I think what we're going to talk about is relevant to humans because humans have lives. And whether that's kids or elderly parents or, you know, other stuff going on, people have commitments and things that are outside of work, but that impact on their work.
I wondered whether there's something about early parenting and working, particularly when you're a freelancer or a solo worker, where you just have to sort of say to yourself, this is going to be shit. And I've got to do whatever it takes to get through it. Because a lot of times I give workshops about solo working and parents ask me about, no, I've got a three-year-old and she's there when I'm working and I'm working at home and it's really impossible because I'm really split between her and my work and I don't know what to do and can you give me some advice? And I never really have an answer because I don't really think there is an answer.
I feel exactly the same. Like I do talks and stuff and obviously run a community of parents who work for themselves looking to me for often answers that I don't have. And part of the issue is that every child is so different. Every family setup is so different. Every business is so different. So to like try and give advice that, you know, is broad in any way is almost impossible. And you're right, that early stage of parenting is just really hard. It's really, really hard when you combine that with working on your own at home the majority of the time. And I guess part of the success maybe of making it work is accepting that it's going to be shit and not fighting that and just rolling with it a bit.
That's it. I feel as though I wish I'd realised this sooner because I've literally just realised it now. Like, it's just, it is really hard. And I don't want that to sound negative because I think in a way there's a relaxation or release that comes with understanding that something is going to be difficult and really tough to get through because it lowers your expectations. I mean, now I look back and think of all the things that I've done in the 6.5 years of having small children work-wise. And I kind of think, wow, that was pretty impressive that I managed to get really anything done.
But yeah, that's really important, like taking time to reflect on what you've done and what you've achieved. And it's so easy not to do that, get caught up in the day-to-day, just getting the job done and not reflecting on the stuff you've achieved. You'd go mad otherwise. You think you're doing a rubbish job at both parenting and your work, but you're not. If you stop and reflect and write down all the stuff you've done, and even in the past week, you'd be amazed at what you've managed to do despite the madness.
I came across a really interesting article on the Harvard Business Review last week called 6 Tips for Exhausted Working Parents. And one of them was doing exactly that, which was to sit down and list all of your achievements since the beginning of the pandemic. It was like very broad. It wasn't just, you know, work-related achievements, but it was also, you know, are you the main cook for your family? And is it a family of four? In which case you've cooked over 6,000 meals since the beginning of the pandemic. Have you managed to do a particular task without losing it at your children in the way that you historically always have done? Quite micro successes, but really profound ones. And writing a list was, it was quite a profound experience of like, oh, okay, this hasn't been a total disaster. I haven't failed at this.
And it's so easy, so you know, but like when you work on your own, entirely by yourself, often at home with only, in this case, small children for company, like, yeah, it's really easy to think that you're just rubbish at everything. So that kind of exercise is really good. In fact, I launched a couple of products. I don't sell them anymore, but a couple of years into launching Doing It For Kids, I made a couple of products. And one of them was a reward chart for the parents that's like, here's what I did this month. Here's how much I earned for my family. And the reaction to that was massive because clearly I wasn't the only person looking for validation from myself.
Let's talk about the community because I've been part of it for quite a few years now. And I think it's so valuable. We've done a podcast on networking and we talked a bit about community there for freelancers. I think there might be something specifically important for parents because I think it's really easy to be a lonely parent, particularly of small children. Did that prompt you to create it? What was the driving force?
Yeah, I think having a child or adopting a child, whatever the situation is, for the first time, it's one of the most vulnerable parts of your life. Your humanity is very close to the edge. It's very close to the surface. That can be really hard to come to terms with and really hard to adjust to, particularly when you're entirely on your own facing that. Yeah, like becoming a parent is isolating in itself and it's a vulnerable time and it's scary and whatever else. When you combine that with the fact that you work on your own and you run a business on your own and both of those things, the weight of the responsibility of both of those things is massive. And if you don't have anybody else to talk to about that, it can be very easily overwhelming. And I was trying, like I met loads of parents when I was pregnant with my first who were very nice, but the vast majority of those people were in a salaried job where they had maternity pay. And like, they were asking me, am I taking 9 months or 12? And I'm like, I don't know, 3 weeks. It became very obvious very quickly that I was part of a crew of people that I wasn't meeting that often in day-to-day life. And I tried to go and find them on the internet. And there were things out there. But at that time, the majority of things I found were on the whole trying to sell me something. So like how to start a business on maternity leave. And I wanted to find people doing it already, hence the name. Like I wanted to find people just getting on with it, making it work, struggling with the same stuff and talk to them. Ideally go out for a glass of wine. I was just craving that connection with those people. Couldn't really find it. So yeah, I made it instead. And turns out lots of other people were also craving that.
I remember exactly the same experience. I was really lucky to be part of a really lovely WhatsApp group of mums who had second children at the same time as me. But I remember one of them sending a message saying, I've just read this great book. It's really brilliant for nap times. And I was like, what? You read books in nap times? Just this sense of like, oh, right, other people are having a really different experience of having a tiny baby than I am because I'm writing a book in their nap times. And sometimes I'm writing it when they're awake too. And I just didn't have a choice, you know, financially, you've got to keep going. The statutory maternity allowance in the UK is such a tiny amount of money that it didn't even scratch the surface of what we needed as a family.
And there's no paternity pay at all. For self-employed dads, there's no pay for adoptive parents if they're self-employed.
I think that two of the things which make being a solo working parent in the UK so difficult are those things and also the childcare fandango and the fact that it's so incredibly expensive.
And the vast majority of the time, the people that are taking the impact of that money is the women. It's the mothers who are cutting down their hours. I know a lot of freelance women who just literally stopped working for a period of time because the finances didn't make sense to send their kids to a childcare setting. And that's crazy.
Because that doesn't just affect the income of a family individually. It also affects women's opportunities in workplaces, careers, remote working.
It's part of the system where men have babies and get promoted and women are seemingly supposed to put their careers on hold and we wonder why they're not earning as much money.
Do you think your relationship to working alone has changed since you became a parent?
It was a weird dichotomy of stuff. Like I always enjoyed work, and I'd been freelance, like self-employed, for 2 or 3 years before I started a family. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that was because I wanted the flexibility when we'd started to have kids, or hoped we'd started to have kids. And then I had children, and the impact on my business, I hadn't really clocked like how massive that would be. And I found that incredibly, incredibly difficult. And I found cutting my hours incredibly difficult, and like we were just touching on, sacrificing what I felt, sacrificing elements of my career, incredibly hard. And my mental health kind of suffered as a result. And I was resentful and angry. Obviously, like 5, 6 years into that, I know that that is just a short period of my parenting life, and it does get better. But equally, I still feel that that's unfair. All of that frustration was combined with the fact that I felt even more ambitious than ever before having had a child. I don't know if you felt this. A lot of people in my community talk about this. It's like this part of your brain just goes into overdrive, where you're full of ideas. You're full of like drive about earning for your family and like making your business better. Yet you have, in the majority of cases, less time available to you to do that. It was hard, but it got easier. And I learned coping mechanisms. I'd started this community and learned from freelancers who were 2 or 3 years ahead of me. I learned from my peers going through the same process and got support from them.
You said that you'd learned from other members of your community and that you'd figured out coping mechanisms. What helped you in those first years, and what are you using now?
The biggest thing was finding those people to know that the way I'm living and the things I'm feeling and the things I'm struggling with are not my struggles alone. And I get people coming in every day who are like, wow, I'm at home now. This is where I was supposed to be. So that in itself is like a massive weight lifted, that you know that there's a space, a safe space that you can go to and go, oh, today was hard for these reasons. And everybody understands. I think a big part of what I've learned and have pushed myself to do is a lot of the issues and problems I was having, particularly right at the beginning, where I was talking about being resentful and stuff, I wasn't communicating how I was feeling and what was going on to my partner. And so a lot of issues were building up. And so I've learned from sage freelancers that a lot of the key to that is not making assumptions about, don't assume that your partner knows what's happening in your business at all and what's going on in your head, and communicate with them quite regularly about, you know, what are your plans this week? What have you got coming up? What are those deadlines that are looming that are stressing you out? And then comparing that with the family stuff, you know, where are the kids this week, blah, blah, blah. And also what's going on with them in their life professionally and whatever else. And as long as everybody's talking to each other, there's you're ahead of the game. So you can try and avoid any major issues where suddenly you've got to look after the kids on a deadline day where you didn't think you'd have to and stuff like that. So like trying to prepare for the worst, I suppose, and communicating that with the people in your life. Obviously, if you don't have a partner, that's harder, but also easier on some level. But that's obviously a lot harder in that you've got way more to juggle. But being organized and communicating that with people who support you has been really key to my sanity, basically, and making things work for me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I wondered if there were also things we could talk about in terms of the benefits of being a solo worker and a parent. So one of the things, although I found the very, very first years of being a parent very lonely, I then latterly found that I was actually part of local communities in a way that I hadn't been before, which as a lonely freelancer, I had not realised how much I missed out on. Have you had that experience? And are there any other ways in which you think being a solo worker is sort of, and a parent, are kind of two beneficial roles to have?
Yeah, I think on paper and definitely initially, much like you, I was very lonely and isolated. But once I kind of launched a massive community for thousands of people, that made a big difference. But also, one of the joys of working for yourself is you don't have formal colleagues in the same way. I mean, maybe you have freelancers you work with regularly, or you might even have employees if you have a small business. You're not working with people that you haven't chosen in the same way. So like, as a solo worker, I can create, in fact, curate like who the people are around me. And over time, I've built like a dream team of people who I never rarely see in real life, but that are keeping me on track, are keeping me sane, make me laugh, make me cry. Like, these are wonderful, wonderful people. For example, I make a podcast and my co-host, Steve, I do that with him, but we only did that because we co-mentor each other. So once a month, we get together and chat about business. We knew we'd be a good fit because we're both juggling business around family and we both have massive side projects. So I run Doing It for the Kids and he runs a community for freelancers as well. We have so much in common and we chat once a month about all of those things and how they all fit together. And that has been, sounds ridiculous, but life-changing. Like, I love it so much and it keeps me so sane. And then I have like a few freelancers, probably some of the very first people I met when I launched Doing It for the Kids, who have just stuck around. We've just supported each other and shared the highs and the utter lows on all levels with each other. And pre-COVID, we used to go, I don't know, quarterly maybe, and get together in a pub and actually see each other and have a proper night out. But part of the joys of working for yourself is you can choose who those people are. And those people are genuinely amazing.
I think there's something about the normalization of support which needs to happen, both with parenting and with solo working. Like, it's fine and normal to need that. And sometimes I think we forget or think that we are solo and therefore we have to be like an island in our work. And maybe that then bleeds into how we parent as well. And you sort of think you've got to do it all. And I am really an advocate for not just getting support from people who are your chosen people, as it were, and your family, but also, if you possibly can, buying it in. There's a lot to be said for both outsourcing work stuff and childcare stuff. It took me a really long time to understand that I wasn't going to be able to do all of this on my own. And frankly, the only reason that I've been able to achieve what I've achieved in the last 6.5 years is by some measures a lot, but is no more than what normal everybody else does in their working days. My stuff just happens to be a bit more visible, but it's just normal work. But I wouldn't have been able to do that normal work if I hadn't had two ad hoc like nannies and babysitters. But it took me a really long time to realize that two adults, two children, 2.5 businesses wasn't going to work. You can't actually do it all. You can't actually have it all. And that we needed to think about where we were going to compromise in terms of whether we were going to spend more or do less or what. I just think that's really important to say. Like, it's very easy to see successful solo people. And actually, I think this is true for solo workers in general. It's very easy to see successful people and think that they've done that by themselves. And it's just almost never true, right?
But it's also easy for people to present the idea that they are doing it all themselves and aren't transparent about what's actually going on. One of the things I like to think my community is tackling is taking on that representation of running a business and having children. And I am trying to get people to be honest and open about all of those things and about the fact that it is hard and that you do need support and that paying for childcare doesn't make you a failure and paying childcare doesn't mean your business isn't going to be profitable. In fact, it's the opposite of that. It's investing in your business. And I know that's scary to come to terms with when you're starting out, but that's a realization that is really important. And yeah, there's just a lot of people with a lot of social currency and followers and whatever else who are like projecting the idea that they are doing all the things, but they're not. And a lot of the time they're selling that dream to you because they've got a course or whatever else that will help you do what they're doing. You know, I think one of the keys to being like a happy freelance parent is boundaries, right? Watertight boundaries. And the first step to creating that is paying for childcare, outsourcing your children for some part of your week. However that looks like for you, obviously it doesn't need to be all the time.
How can we support other solo parents, do you think? What can we do to help?
We touched on it already, but a lot of people are not very good at asking for help. So offering your help without being asked is a good one. I do that quite a lot because I know, so for example, I've got friends who their son has just started school and I know how hard that transition is. So I messaged them and was like, look, I'm self-employed. If you ever need me to pick up your kids because work's not possible or something's going on in your life, more often than not, I can do that for you. They didn't ask me that. I put it out there and they said, yes, that would be great. And now they're offering to help us in exchange. So it's become like a mutual thing. sharing and supporting each other in a similar situation. I also really advocate literally employing each other and using each other's businesses and investing in each other's businesses as a means to keep our community growing and thriving and supporting each other in that way. And if not, shouting about it or sharing it with people who might want to hire them and stuff like that. If there isn't a community that exists, go and build one. If you're a, you know, freelance parent that also works in a particular industry or whatever, and you feel like you'd benefit from being in a space that's full of people like you, absolutely try and carve that out for yourself, because that's going to be huge for yourself and for everybody else.
Do you think there's also something to be said for trying to be more honest, maybe on, I don't know, maybe on social media or maybe just in conversation about what's difficult for you and the challenges that you're facing?
That's all my group is, really, is me like sharing the challenges of what's going on. When I didn't have that community, I didn't see anybody talking about those things. And that's not very helpful. I like to say that my community is about the mundane. Like, it's about talking about the really boring day-to-day practicalities of being a solo worker and having a family in a way that is honest and upfront and acknowledges the hard stuff, but also celebrates the really good stuff. Those two things go hand in hand. Encouraging more people to be open is one of my aims for sure.
It is actually a really brilliant lifestyle. It's great to be able to parent and work in this way that kind of meshes the two together.
And it's a massive privilege because often it comes with financial security and a partner who earns as well and a million other things that allow you to feel confident enough to take a financial risk and start something for yourself. And that is not open to everybody. As hard as it is, I'm very grateful for the way that I work. And I'm excited now on this cusp of my children being in childcare more. I'm excited to see what happens next for my business.
In terms of the impact of the pandemic and the way that it's affected work and remote work, do you think that there's going to be kind of more acceptance and understanding of what it means to be a freelancing parent out in the wider world?
Definitely. We talked about that in our podcast at the time, like the first lockdown. We were like, whoa, this is awful, but this is our moment. The vast majority of people are at home with their kids around or are juggling work and their kids in the way that they've never juggled it before. And we were quite like, oh my God, you know, we were quite excited about the fact that we would be understood finally, because a lot of the time, you know, when you're, in my experience anyway, you're in the queue for school and you're talking about what you do. And, you know, a lot of people kind of look at me with this glazed look when I say I'm a freelance designer and they don't really understand what that looks like and assume I'm on the PTA or assume I don't really work and that's just code for I'm unemployed or whatever else. There's a lot of like negative connotations that come with being self-employed, and that definitely plays out in the school playground when you're talking to other parents and stuff. But also I think it has sparked a lot of people to want to pursue that longer term. And I've seen a huge influx of people into the group who have corporate jobs and have started working from home on their own and now want to live that life, but for themselves. So there's been a huge jump in people wanting to join and get advice on how to do that.
I think that's really joyful. That's really hopeful that people have kind of shifted their lives. That's one of the things that I sort of feel most strongly about in terms of the motivation for writing my book in the first place. The beginning of all of this was that I felt like people were trapped in this idea that work was the biggest thing in their lives and the most important thing they would do. And I if anything good can come out of this horrible time, then it's that changing. It's that sense that we're more than just our jobs, and that it's okay to want to bend our work around our lives rather than the other way around.
I think COVID has proven to a lot of people that maybe they assumed they wouldn't work from home. They wouldn't be efficient if they worked from home, or had, you know, expectations about how that would look. And maybe they didn't think those would be positive. And they've started doing it and gone, oh, wow, I actually really thrive working in this way. And I want to continue doing that. But on the flip side, a lot of people are like, wow, I'm never doing this ever. And really urgently want to get back to the office. So it's amazing how different people are. I've seen more and more parents, their eyes have been opened to what's available to them. And they want to make that, if not a permanent feature, like on a part-time basis, or reduce their hours in the office so they can do something for themselves on the side and have more flexibility around their kids.
Frankie, thank you so much. I really loved this conversation. And I think everybody who is a working parent should immediately go and join Doing It For The Kids. I really recommend it. It's so helpful and joyful and normalizing and valuable.
Thanks for having me. It's been good. It's been fun.
Total pleasure. I'm really grateful that Frankie created the Doing It for the Kids community, because I think that there is something so powerful and so positive about knowing that whatever you're going through as a family, as a solo worker, as a parent, is normal and other people have been through it and survived it before you, whether that's figuring out childcare or figuring out money or figuring out where to find support. All of that stuff is familiar to other people within communities like Doing It for the Kids, and will be familiar to people who are listening to this too. And so I hope in a small way this podcast contributes a bit to the conversation around all these really quite difficult, heavy responsibilities on our shoulders. And so I just think there's so much value in sharing what's difficult and that we got through it and that you will too. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Solo Collective. To make sure you don't miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have anything you would like covered, let us know by leaving us a review, or you can message us at The Solo Collective on Instagram. You have been listening to The Solo Collective with me, Rebecca Seal, a Chalk and Blade original, produced by Laura Hyde with support from Fatuma Kayra, original music by Dee Plume, and engineering by Matt Nielsen.
Chalk and Blade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.